Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Happy Labor Day weekend to everyone who picks up Catholic Vitamins, whatever day you pick it up. We're doing this on the weekend.
Hi, Deacon Tom.
Hello, Miss Dee. It's the lovely Miss Dee. Hi, good
are
to be with
you. Are we laboring this Labor Day weekend?
A little bit, but it's an enjoyable work of love, and we're ready to do our show, but you said you wanted to start with something a little different.
This is episode 325, and this is Catholic Vitamin M, and I thought I'd just read a little email we got from Matthew in Texas. I've got four guesses.
Okay.
Manifest, John, 1 John 4:9, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him.
Okay.
Good guess. 2, movement, as in the new evangelization movement that Catholic Vitamins is contributing to.
Good idea.
Good one.
Mm-hmm.
3, militant. As in the church militant, Christians on earth, church penitent, souls in purgatory, and church triumphant, those who have the beatific vision and are in heaven. Wow,
I'm telling you, really.
He's put a lot of thought into this.
He ought to do his own podcast.
And 4, manliest, as in to love the Lord is one of the manliest things that we can do in our life. I think my final guess will be movement. Great job, Matthew.
Absolutely.
And then we heard from Mike in California.
Uh-huh.
Vitamin M, 8 letters, ends in T. My only guess this week is monument, though I have no idea how it might be a Catholic vitamin if I'm right.
Well,
boing.
D is a monument to patience, having been married to this deacon for quite a few years. The vitamin is...
Well, Matthew...
You started right.
Yes, your final guess, you should have stuck with your first one. It is manifest.
All right, and our guest is Jessica Mahatta, a name that it's likely none of our listeners have ever heard of, and there's a reason for that. She is living a quiet, sort of hidden life, except where she is. And there she's living sort of the life of Mother Teresa, doing some wonderful work. And what happened is, Dee, do you remember the
kind of a neat way we met her.
Yeah. You remember the song, Some Enchanted Evening?
Yes.
Well, that's the romantic side.
I'm old. Of course I remember that.
That's the romantic vision of one evening running into somebody.
Uh-huh.
But we ran into Jessica, and it soon became manifest that she was a special lady. And I wasn't sure why she was sort of special. We met her while we were on a riverboat along...
On the Mississippi River.
On the Mississippi River.
In early June.
We were listening to music being played and sung by Vince and Brissetti.
Right.
From International Liturgical Publications, an organization that has a lot of the church music and a lot of the church artists as part of it. And at any rate, he was entertaining us, and she was doing some work for his organization and for him, and we happened to sit near each other. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It looked like Deacon Tom had had too much wine. I had trouble getting up off the floor, and Jessica came over to help me. Get up.
That was what were you doing on the floor?
Well, I got down low so I could take a picture of Vince while he was playing. And so she came over and helped me up. I felt like such a goofus.
Well, Well, she thought, all this poor old man.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But we had a wonderful visit when Vince wasn't entertaining and performing. And I said, would you ever consider coming on our show? And she said, yes, and today's the day. So we'll bring her along soon, and we'll play some music from International Liturgical Publications. So why don't we...
I'll make a note about that.
Yeah. Do we have a little bit of prattle to start with, and then we'll take a break?
Well, we have our two book giveaways we got to talk about again.
Okay.
This is Labor Day weekend. We could talk about the holiday traffic that we have in our town, especially... I mean, it's every weekend during the summer, but especially on a holiday weekend. Oh, my gosh.
We are a pass-through town, and what that means is that a lot of the people from the Phoenix Heat Basin will come through our small town, which is the beginning of the forest, and up 5,000 feet, and they will often stop for gas, groceries, or something to eat, and then... Many of them will progress onward. Some, of course, have places here, but some will progress on. And what Dee is making reference to is that the direction of traffic on Friday afternoons, starting midday.
Right.
Going.
It's backed up for miles beyond the edge of our town.
Yeah. Going north and east from where we are is quite a bit. And then... Usually on Sunday afternoons, but this time it'll be Monday afternoon because of the holiday. It will start about noon again, and people will be returning to the valley from their weekend. May it all be blessed, and we thank the Lord for the gift of America and for holidays. Dee, why don't we take our first break?
Okay.
In every age, in every time, in every place, oh Lord, you have been our refuge, you have been our strength, shelter from the storm, our sanctuary shore. Always you are here, sharing all our trials. You comfort us, you nourish us, you challenge us to grow. Constant is your love, and this is your care. Through every pain, through every doubt, we know that you are here. In every age, in every time, in every place, oh Lord, you have been our refuge, you have been our strength, shelter from the storm, our sanctuary.
That was Vince Ambrosetti, Dee, singing one of Tom's favorite songs from Vince. It was written by him. It's called Sanctuary. It's just a lovely song, and it speaks to, in every age and every time, that God is our refuge. So, that is...
I kind of like the one he played on the riverboat.
Which one was that?
Piano Man.
Yes, he did that too, just to get us fired up. It was kind of fun.
It was. I mean, that was a fun evening, so it was appropriate.
Let's also say that he did some sacred songs, too.
He did, yes.
Yeah, yeah. You have a couple of books in your area.
Hot off the presses.
Yes.
Our two book giveaways. The World of Ben-Hur by Mike Aquilina. And we might mention that we went to see Ben-Hur this past week.
We did. Normally, Tom and Dee, first of all, don't go to movies.
If we're in a movie theater once a year... That's doing good.
I know. But we had heard about this and wanted to know what the remake was like. And I'd say we had some mixed feelings. Dee said, go ahead.
I don't like all that violence.
Well, I mean, consider what time of the world
it
was.
I know.
When they did A Crucifixion, they didn't want to make it pretty.
I know. And that's why I as much as, you know, we went to see The Passion when it was on the big screen.
Yes. And,
I mean, I knew what I was going to see.
All right.
But it bothered me.
Well, of course, it's supposed to bother you. But anyway, we went to see The World of Ben-Hur. Well, we went to see Ben-Hur, and we enjoyed the movie pretty much. There were some weak areas in it. The National Catholic Register has a review of the movie, and I would say that it came out to mixed reviews in that.
Yeah, he didn't quite give it a big thumbs up.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. So the other book we're giving away is From Humdrum to Holy, A Step-by-Step Guide to Living Like a Saint. And this is written by Father Ed Broom. And would you say both of these books are from Sophia Institute Press?
They are. And so, The World of Ben-Hur is about the life and times surrounding the Roman occupation of the Jewish people. And it has a lot of good information that would help you to understand what was going on in the time that that movie was set.
So if you would like either one of these books, please send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And in the subject line, just put Humdrum or Ben-Hur, okay, whichever one you want.
All right. So we have one more week, I think, to do this, don't we?
Right.
All right. I had a stop yesterday on our way home from our Saturday morning outing. I had to stop at PetSmart. Why did I stop at PetSmart?
Well, I know why you were stopping at PetSmart. I didn't go in.
No, you didn't. What kind of a wife is that? Tom is looking to find the right dog to join our family.
And I'm saying the right dog will find us.
Well, I got called into PetSmart. I had a text message to go into PetSmart. They were not doing any adoptions that weekend, so we came on home. But if you've heard of the Bickersons before, that's Tom and Dee.
I feel like we were so lucky with the last two dogs. I'm so fortunate, so blessed. Holly and Bandit were both sweet little miniature schnauzers, and I just don't know if third time's a charm will be that.
I know.
Blessed again.
Well, I want to honor your feelings, but if a dog loves me and gives me lots of kisses, it's the right dog. Whatever size it is, I might say D.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to go along with you on that either.
All right. Well, just wives, be obedient to your husbands.
Gosh.
Oh, what'd you think of the gospel for today? Oh, wow. If you don't hate your mother, your father, your wife, your children.
I know. We're standing at the back of church this morning getting ready to process up, and Father says to me, do you know what the gospel's about this morning? I said, well, I read the readings over because I'm lector, but I didn't read the gospel. He says, well, I'm going to be preaching on that this morning, and he started to tell me about it.
Well, he did a wonderful job in his homily, and it was about the fact that teaching followed immediately about being called to sort of the Lord's Supper.
Right. And he tied it into the Eucharist.
Yeah,
nicely.
He did a very wonderful job with that. All right, Father Lucero, thank you for being our pastor. Thank you for your yes to Jesus. And we'll do another music segment, and then we'll come back and be joined by our guest.
Okay.
Ave, Ave, Maria, Ave, Ave. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom and Dee were on a riverboat on the Mississippi in the outskirts of St. Louis, and we met an attractive young lady who seemed to have a glow about her. She seemed to have a story in her, and we were being entertained by some music we'll get into. She was not the entertainment, but we were listening to some music and singing. And afterwards, we sat and talked with her for a while, and I asked her if she would come on Catholic Vitamins, this podcast that you're listening to today. Her name is Jessica Mahata, unusual last name. But Jessica, we welcome you warmly to Catholic Vitamins.
It is a pleasure to be with you today, Deacon Tom.
Thank you. So we've been working on trying to get this scheduled for quite a while, and I've found out that you are a busy, busy person, and we'll get into what you do with your life these days after we cover some of the earlier stuff. Let's start with your family and faith of origin.
Okay. With my family, actually, I have grown up here in southeast Missouri in a very small town. We have a population of about 19,000 people. And so I have three brothers, and I have grown up with the Catholic faith.
All right. So now that you know about varying intensities of Catholic faith, how would you say your upbringing was? Sort of, we have to go to church, or we go to church, we love to go to church, we do.
That was one of those things. My mother actually had taken my brothers and I to church every Sunday. And then with going to a Catholic school, of course, we would go once a week every Wednesday. And kind of during that process, when you're younger, you're thinking going to church twice a week, it really wasn't my thing. It was more of I went because I had to go. So at that point in time, I really wasn't into my faith that much. It was just one of those things to where I knew that it was something that I was supposed to do and required of me.
Okay. So along come the teen years, maybe a few hormones, things begin to change in your life. What were your teen years like for you in terms of family and faith?
When it comes to my teenage years, actually, those were actually my rough years, I like to say. Being that kind of the home that I came from, I would consider it from what most people consider today is like a broken home. My parents had divorced when I was 5 years old. And then with attending a Catholic school, I had a very small class, but it was one of those things where I didn't really feel like I had fit into any certain group, and I was constantly trying to find out where it was that I belonged. And it was one of those things where I was angry at the world during my teenage years only because of the environment that I came from home. My father was an alcoholic. He was abusive at that time as well. And it was kind of one of those things where it seemed like everybody else's parents were always there for the school functions, for parent night. And I didn't have that. And so I kind of felt like that outcast. But even when it came to like my class, being in the Catholic school, we were constantly taught about how everybody's our brothers and sisters and in Christ, and to treat each other with respect. And I didn't feel like I had really gotten that from those that I was surrounded with at that time. So I was very angry with God and the world at that point in my life, just because I didn't feel like being in a Catholic school, I was receiving what we were being taught all of those years, being loved by our brothers and sisters. And it was just a really, really tough time in my life, trying to figure out where it was that I belonged.
Sure. How were your relations within the family, like, say, with your siblings?
So between me and my eldest brother, there is about 13 years between us. And then my next brother, he's about 2.5 years older than I. And then I have a brother that's 2 years younger than I.
Okay. Were you close with any of them, particularly close?
I was actually closest with my oldest brother because he actually stepped into that father figure role and really took care of us when we needed and took us to where we needed to be and helped us with our homework and was just a phenomenal role model. So he was the one that I would say I was closest to.
Okay. How about graduating from high school? What did you do as you graduated from high school?
So I actually graduated in 2004, and I actually did not have plans to graduate. School was a struggle for me, and I was failing a lot of my classes. But then my junior year in high school, they had opened a higher education center here in our community, and they had come in and started talking to us about the classes that they offered. And there was one on criminal justice, and that was one thing that actually interested me. So I decided to check it out, and I started taking a class that summer, and I realized that I could actually do really well in something that I was interested in, and I just always had a passion for helping others. So from that point on, I was able to start really focusing on my grades in high school and realized that I needed to kind of keep up with that in order to continue on into college. So my junior year in high school, I started taking those college courses, graduated from high school in 2004, graduated in 2005 with my associate degree, transferred to a four-year college, and then had received my bachelor's in criminal justice.
Wow.
And I actually graduated with honors from college. So I was at the bottom of my class in high school, but graduated top of my class in college.
Congratulations. Wow, what a change. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is one area that we didn't discuss when we were sitting at the table after the entertainment was over. But a lot of my career was in automating law enforcement agencies. So I had a lot to do with the criminal justice system from another vantage point. But congratulations. During the college years, what happened with faith and what happened as you got out of college?
During my college years, that was kind of one of those things where I was working three jobs to put myself through college. I wasn't able to really get any loans, and I didn't have any assistance from family. So I was working a lot, trying to go to school full time. So I really didn't have a lot of time for faith. And I think that was kind of a point in my life where I was really trying to figure out who I was, but also I had felt so lost in my life for the fact that I didn't really have a support system at that point in time because I had moved out from my home right after I graduated at the age of 17 and was renting an apartment, working, going to school full time. So it was just kind of on autopilot mode that entire time in regards to just what was going on in my life and not really having time for anybody, anyone, and especially not going to church or being active in my faith at that point in time in my early years of college.
Mm-hmm. Well, to the extent that you wish to share about this, I don't know what it was that made me feel that you had a story. Did you have some sort of a faith crash or some sort of a big faith reboot?
I did. Actually, I think with a lot of people in life, there's different phases that we go through. But when I was younger and going through a lot of those issues in the middle school years with just the bullying, the issues going on at home, what was really interesting is my mom wanted to take me to church. One afternoon, there was a parish mission that was being offered, and I really didn't want to go, but she had forced me to. And I was just really angry with God at that point in time. And during that parish mission, it just so happened to be kind of looking up at the cross. And it just hit me at that point in time. I was realizing just the sacrifice and the suffering that Christ had because of how much love he had for us. And I broke down during that time because I realized how much God loved us and loved me at that point. And so it was also the presenter that was talking about our faith and our relationship with Christ and asking us, what are we doing to build that relationship with Jesus? And so after that, just a lot of the music that he had played during that night, we had bought some of those CDs. And so whenever I was having a really hard time where there was things going on at home, I would turn on those CDs and I would listen to the music. And it was just a constant reminder of how I needed to keep digging deeper into my faith, keeping God close to my heart, turning to Him in those times. And that was actually kind of what got me through that point in time in my life. I was battling anxiety and eating disorders just from like the bullying that was going on at school at that time. So that actually pulled me out of that low in my life. And then, of course, later on, high school, I wasn't really involved with the youth groups or anything like that. But I got involved into college and all of that. And then I actually had somebody invite me to a Luke 18 retreat at our local parish because they thought I had a story to share. And I wasn't really quite sure what I wanted to talk about with them because they wanted to know more about who I was and how I got to where I was. And it was one of those things that when I battled all of those issues during school growing up, I was constantly trying to be that perfect person and be accepted by my classmates and those around me. And it just wasn't until one day when I realized that I had spent so much of my energy and time trying to impress other people and to be accepted and loved by them, when in reality, Christ had created me the way He wanted me to be. And I needed to learn to love and accept myself for who I was. And that when that hit me, like my life just completely changed and altered, because when I finally started to love and accept myself and see myself through Christ's eyes, what everybody else said or thought, it didn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. So I was really able to start focusing on my life and my goals and my dreams. And so that was a huge turning point as well. And then another time I was just really lost after that. I wasn't sure what direction I was going, and I felt far away from Christ. And I was sitting outside working on my flower garden, and I was pulling all of the weeds and the vines out of the garden. And I was getting really frustrated, and I was just like, God, where have you been lately? I don't know where you're at. I haven't felt your presence. And I was just pulling all of those weeds. And then in the bottom of the weeds, like, I noticed the light hit what looked like the wing of a butterfly. And so I was, like, pulling out faster, and I was thinking there was no way that this thing could possibly be alive. And when I finally got all those weeds pulled out of the flower bed, like, that butterfly was alive. And it was the most beautiful thing, and it was set free. And then, like, it landed on a flower right next to me. And at that point in time, it was like the Holy Spirit had, like, spoken to my heart that our faith is a lot like that flower bed, being that if we don't tend to it, we don't take care of it, just all the junk in our life and everything that's going on, the stressors, whether it's our hobbies, whether it's work or school or going to the parties, all of that can really start to blind us and get in the way of our relationship with Christ. So that was a really big moving point for me, because I even had a friend that had stopped and asked, hey, do you need help with that? And I laughed, because sometimes we need the help from other people to keep our faith alive, and somebody who we can talk to whenever things are getting tough. And it was just a reminder that whenever life is getting tough, that we can always turn back to Christ. But it's important that we actually take the time to pray, to go to church, and just keep Him involved in our everyday life, because it's so easy to let everything get caught up and become blinded and just become distant from God.
Gosh, what a beautiful story. It's like there have been waves of conversion in your life. I mean, I'm paraphrasing what I've heard you say, but how beautiful what has happened with you. Has any of this intensified, or are you where you were when you were working in your flower garden?
It has. It's every little thing. Like, I've really got deeper into my prayer life. I've experienced so much joy and just peace in my life. And I look back and I wonder how I got through half of the things that I did. But I realized that this entire time, like, when I thought God had turned His back on me, it was in reality, it was I that had turned my back on God. And I just thought that I could handle everything on my own, and I tried to take on the world myself, when in reality I needed to hand it over to Him, and He had been by me the entire time. And there's, when your faith is much stronger and when your relationship with Christ is strong, it helps you to get through those really difficult times in life, such as when I lost my nephew several years ago. He was only 17 years old. you know, when you think, God, why are you taking somebody so young? And that was the first time I had seen my brother, who is the oldest one, who is like my father figure. That was the first time I had seen him cry. And that was really hard on me. And I started to question my faith and question God again. And then not long ago, my husband had lost his job. He was let go. And I was wondering, how am I going to make it? You know, what are we going to do? How is a God who loves us continue to let this happen? And I remember walking out to my car, and I was just angry at God again. I was like, God, I've put my faith and trust in you. And over again, these things keep happening in my life. And I'm like, what is it that you want me to do? And then, like, all of a sudden, I look down right by my car, and there's this little green and white foam. It's like a little crafting sticker, but it said faith. Mm-hmm. And I had to laugh because it was kind of like a here's your sign type thing from God. And it was just a great reminder that no matter what we go through in life, that if we continue to trust God and put it in his hands and have the faith that everything's going to work out, that it will. And the really amazing thing is that during that year that my husband was unemployed, we didn't have any financial issues. We were able to make it. And I'm not really sure how, but it happened. And I wasn't stressed out. It was one of those things where every morning I woke up and I'm like, okay, God, today everything's in your hands. I trust in you. I believe in you. And it's worked out great. He's employed now. And just with all of that, it's helped me to get more involved in going to retreats and mission trips. And it's one of those things where God's given me so much in my life that I want to continue to pay that forward. And he's blessed me greatly with the people that I've encountered on these retreats and these mission trips, and united me with people who have the same struggles as me, but also where we can be that support for each other. And it's just been so phenomenal. Like, there's times I've been filled with so much joy that, like, I just literally just cry because I feel like Christ's arms are wrapped around me.
Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. Jessica, before we turned on our recorded time together, you know, because you and I were smiling, I said that I know the least about you of anybody we've ever had on Catholic Vitamins, but I'm convinced hearing this that there was a radiance, a light shining from you that somehow my soul or the Lord helped me to see in you, and that was why we asked you to come on Catholic Vitamins. It's just wonderful. You've said something about trips and mission things. What have you been doing?
So I've been to a Steubenville youth conference. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So thousands of youth there, adults, you know, priests, sisters. And it was a phenomenal experience because in high school I never had that opportunity to go just because financial reasons. But it seems that after I've graduated, now God's placing me in all of these positions. But being there with that many people who have that love for Christ and who are digging deeper in, it's a very humbling experience to see that many people gather into one place. And it gives you hope that even though there's a lot of darkness and sin and evil in the world, and on the media we see so much going on, but it's that light that, you know, together we can continue to shine that light even in the darkest places when we gather, and it is so beautiful. And with the mission trips, it's with the Vincentian Marian Youth Group. It's kind of another outreach here in our area, and we go take youth groups to different states, and we work with those who are homeless, the elderly. We do things like feed the homeless, build ramps, build rooms, like add on to houses. And it's just a phenomenal experience to meet all of these individuals and to really realize how much we do have, but also to be able to answer that call that God has for us, you know, to help the lonely, to serve the poor. And I think in a sense, like, it helps us realize that we're all lonely and we're all poor, whether it's in spirit or in our relationships with others. So it's been wonderful to really connect with those that we've been able to serve as well. And just, I realize that I see more of Christ in those individuals who I get to encounter, who we see as less fortunate, but in reality, they feel very fortunate for what they have and what they've been given as well.
Mm. When we were back in the talking about the education phase of life. You talked about criminal justice, and I know that mm-hmm. you have done some work for a music organization. Let's move into what are you doing for work these days?
So for work these days, I do have a full-time job working in prevention since I had dealt with a family who had substance use issues growing up. I felt that I could really help others in that aspect with what I had gone through. And I wanted to be able to show them that just because maybe their family has kind of set that standard and that path for them doesn't mean that they have to continue to travel down that same path. So I am a substance use prevention specialist for a non-for-profit. We have 10 different programs that we work with, basically working with those who have substance use issues. The youth in the community, but we're also helping to build family ties as well, just getting the families out together and teaching them how to get along with each other and teaching the kids how to deal with anger and their emotions. And so it's been a very rewarding experience. Prior to that, I worked with the Children Division and Division of Youth Services, the Sheriff's Department, and the Women's Crisis Center. So I've always had a passion for working with others and helping them in any way I can. And then I also work part-time with International Liturgy Publications. And so they're based out of Nashville, and they have been around since 1977, actually. And they were founded on two things, such as publishing sacred music and then enlivening parishes throughout the United States and world with parish missions. And what's really neat is I've actually been able to get involved with them. So when I was sharing my story about going to a parish mission when I was younger, this was actually one of the parish missions that I attended with this agency. And I had met Vince Ambrosetti. He'd actually done four parish missions here in our parish throughout all that time. So it was really neat because the last one that he had been to here in 2013, I had met him. I didn't realize that he was still around actually and still doing these parish missions. And so I felt the need and felt it in my heart to tell him how much his music and his parish missions had changed my life and impacted my life all those years ago. And during that conversation, he was just kind of asking me what it is that I like to do, what my dreams, my goals were. And I just said I had this tool to really help others, to serve others, do mission trips and things like that. And so he had invited me to volunteer and help out at other parish missions. And so what was really neat is that over time, I was able to actually interview with them. And so now I work part-time with them as a parish consultant. So I get to go to the conferences with them, do the parish missions, and then also help out in other areas that are needed. So it's really neat how things connect over time.
Jessica, could we clone you? My heavens.
Well, I would love to clone myself so I can be everywhere and do everything, but there's so much I want to do and so many dreams and goals I still have, but I constantly dedicate my life to serving others and doing what God has called me to do. Who is that?
St. Therese, the little flower.
Oh, really?
Do you know of her?
I've heard, but I'm not really familiar, I have to say. I apologize.
Well, that's all right. I have a special devotion to her. I just passed her statue in our church this morning and was talking with her and asking for her help for some issues that I need help with. And she said that she would spend her eternity doing good work on earth. And maybe you're the form that she is doing that. It's just so wonderful to hear your story. And I know that, we'll have a few listeners who will pick this show up when we post. They'll pick it up quickly, and there'll be some who will pick it up in a month and even later. Prior to your appearance on Catholic Vitamins, we had Father Don Calloway. I don't know if you know of him. He was a teen who was in terrible, terrible trouble from addiction to drugs and alcohol and sex, and became a priest of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. And he's a guest interview that we had So, gosh, you've just helped to inspire in the same way that Father Don Calloway did. And we're so very, very grateful for this amount of time shared with our listeners on Catholic Vitamins. I'll ask if there's anything that, by the way, we're going to play some music we have already, and we will play some more music by Vince Ambrosetti and give credit to ILP when we play it. Is there anything else you'd like to share about, for example, connectivity, if anybody wants to reach out to you based on what they've heard here?
As far as where I can be reached at?
Yeah. Do you wish to share that?
Yeah. They're more than welcome. I have an email address if they would like to contact me that way. I would be more than happy to share that and connect with them. And if there's anything that even they can relate to with me or just questions that they have, I would love to be able to touch base with them.
So give us your email address.
So it is Burley, and it is B as in boy, E-H-R-L-E, and the number 2 at hotmail.com.
Okay, we'll put that in our show notes when we post the show. It'll be on our Catholic Vitamins Facebook page for the show. And we are just so very, very grateful and happy that we were able to put this together. And we have a picture of you that we'll put on the face page for the show, and that'll go out on iTunes as well. Any concluding thoughts about your journey or about what's happened in your life?
I just have to say that if anybody's struggling at all with any kind of thing, whether it's with family, with work, with friends, or just feeling lost in life, even though it's a hard thing to do, is to get ourselves to go to God, to go to Christ, and to lay it all down at the feet of the cross and just say, God, I need you to help me, and just be vulnerable, because he is there with open arms and he is waiting to embrace us. And we just have to continue to pray and to wake up and say, God, today I'm giving this to you. I need you to help me through this. And he most certainly will. He most certainly will.
Amen. Amen. Jessica Mahata, we are very, very grateful and blessed for the time that you've shared with us, and we thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you so much, Deacon Tom. It's been a wonderful pleasure.
That music was by Vince Ambrosetti. Here I Am, Lord, sort of appropriate to the tone of the interview with Jessica Mahata. I was so glad that we found her, Dee, and I'm hopeful of sharing that that time, that interview, even here in our community. You know, we have a young couple, sisters, that I think could really hear some inspiration and benefit from it. So I'd like to make a copy of maybe just the interview and share that with them or with the parents. So thank you, Jessica, and it was a joy to meet you electronically and in person, and we hope you get out to Arizona sometime.
Hey, you know, we had Anna Nuzzo on two episodes ago.
I do. I remember.
And we also
played
some of her music on the last episode, too. And she wrote in and said, thank you for playing my music. Yes, I was already planning to listen to your interview with Father Don Calloway. I will also share it on my social media site. Sites. She's really spreading the news out there.
She is. Anna, it was good to meet you as well.
She said she met Father Don last summer, and he gave her a copy of his Champions of the Rosary book and a T-shirt. He's awesome.
All right. Well, Dee, what else do we have that we can do? I have a Married for Life segment ready to go. Do we have anything else we could chat about right now?
Well, I was going to mention that you have found somebody to do some part-time work for you at the radio station.
Correct. Yes, yes. We put an ad in our bulletin, a little squib in the bulletin that said KPIH Catholic Radio is growing and we need somebody to help us on a part-time basis.
And caught the attention of a new mother in our community.
I'll start by saying that it was in there for 2 weeks and we didn't hear anything. And I thought, oh, this isn't going anywhere. And I was thinking we might have to advertise in the regional paper, the area paper, newspaper. But this lady approached by email.
A new family that moved into our parish.
And no sooner had she sort of been interviewed and given the green light to get started with us than we had three others that presented themselves. So
when it rains, it pours.
Well, this is called Find Interest You Can Enjoy Together.
Now, and what would ours be?
Well, D, what would it be?
Traveling, yeah, exploring.
We've talked about exploring before, which is going maybe into small towns and finding the cafes, listening to the locals. I remember when we were traveling between, where was it, Florida and Missouri to see Mary. We stopped in Elvis's birthplace. And we were in the
we were in this little cafe, and they walked around serving
fried
green onions.
No, fried green tomatoes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Just platter of them, and they would pass them out. We'd listen to the locals talk about their issues in town and all that. Well, we enjoy that sort of thing. But the tone of this is a little bit different, Dee, and I hope it's a learning lesson, because the first thing we thought about was us when I started this, finding things that we enjoy together. Well, here's a couple, Wharton and Corda Jane, boy, those are old-fashioned names, Sanders. They were married in 1942 in Maryland.
It's a year I was, oh, no, I won't say that.
Having trouble finding something the two of you can do together, the Bible suggests many activities that would be very pleasing to God. If you take any one of these ideas separately, think about it a while, talk it over, and ask the Lord to show you how you could go about implementing it. You may discover a pursuit that both of you not only enjoy, but also find deeply fulfilling. And then they give some examples of activities that matter greatly to God: writing in justice, helping the oppressed, sharing the gospel, comforting the brokenhearted, freeing the captives, looking after widows, caring for orphans, feeding the hungry, providing drink to the thirsty, showing hospitality to strangers, clothing the naked, tending to the sick, and visiting the prisoners. Well, Dee, not to correct how we started this, because it's okay to talk about things that we enjoy as a couple who wants to get away, but also we can think of this in terms of what might be pleasing to the Lord God. Now, one thing that I have as an example from our faith walk in years past is when we were doing marriage ministry together. Mm-hmm. And I think when I first mentioned this to you, you were like, oh, I'm not the deacon. I don't know what I can contribute. But you being there, a witness to our marriage and a witness to the things that we talked about, was important.
It turned out to be something I enjoyed. I enjoyed meeting the couples that you were working with. And
right.
Seeing them working on getting started with their life.
So this book that we've mentioned in the past, Married for Life, Inspiration from Those Married 50 Years or More, has a little mini chapter on finding interest you could enjoy together. And that is our recommendation for this Catholic Vitamins.
Speaking of that, we also do an adoration hour together nowadays. We've done that the last couple of years.
That's right. And at least in terms of witness to others, we're demonstrating that it's something that we can benefit from doing together. And, of course, it's nice to spend time with the Lord Jesus once a week in that special way. We'll be back in just a moment.
I was actually raised in the Catholic Church. I went to grade school through sixth grade, and pretty much about the time I went to high school, I stopped attending church and really didn't think much more about it for a number of years. The return to church, the Catholic Church, was somewhat of an evolution. I thought I knew what the Catholic Church believed and taught, but learned very quickly from somebody who knew far more about the Bible than I ever hoped to know. I learned that the Catholic Church, what it truly taught, and that's where I needed to be. I'm a recovered alcoholic and drug addict. Without God in my life, I'd probably be dead. God has literally saved my life. I feel like I'm truly on the road to the fulfillment of really all of my desires, which is ultimately to spend eternity in heaven with myself and my family.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Well, Dee, it's time for wrap-up. We didn't have Mariana, our award-winning, seven-time award-winning journalist from the Chicago area. She's up in Wisconsin, escaping a little bit.
I think they like doing that.
Yeah.
And so, no Justin this time either.
Right. So I did have a message from Sonia Corbett, our faithful and dear evangelista. She wants to come back on Catholic Vitamins and do a special interview about a new book she's coming out with.
Oh,
but we'll save that until time is right. And we have some other guests that we're working with that I think will be in keeping with the work that we try to do on Catholic Vitamins. Today's vitamin was manifest, and may the Lord God manifest his love for you in special ways. And we thank once again Jessica Mahata for coming on the show. And Dee, we're ready for...
Well, let me give Vitascrabble for next time.
How does Vitascrabble work, Dee?
I'm going to give you the first letter, the last letter, and how many letters there are in the word, and you try to guess what it is.
Okay.
If you get it correct, anybody who gets it correct, the names go in a basket. We draw a name, and they get...
Sometimes we send out very nice things. During the off season, meaning fall and winter, we send what are called sweet treats. We can't reveal what they are under pain of mortal sin, but we can't do that so much in the summer
because of the heat in mailing. They wouldn't arrive in good shape. So,
all right. Well, we can't give any more clue than that. But we do have some Michael Klett coffee.
That's right,
Mystic Monk coffee from. The Coffee with Mike podcast.
Yeah, so take a guess. You'll get a free pack of coffee.
And here you go. The vitamin is?
Catholic vitamin N. N's an R. Eight letters.
Oh, my. That's kind of an unusual one. So it starts with N as in Norma. Ends in R.
As in?
Rebound.
Rebound. I was going to say something else. But
all right.
Yes. N ends in R. Eight letters.
Take a guess, send it in to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com, and we would be honored to pull your name. Don't forget our book giveaway. We have two books that we're offering. Send in your preference for either one of the books.
Either Humdrum or Ben-Hur.
Right. Dee, I think that's about it for this show. So what do you say?
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
Touch him with your kiss and breathe in him your life. Anoint this child, O Lord, and make him as your own, and hold him in the hollow of your arms. Hold him in the hollow of your arms. Child of our love, born of our hearts, rest in our care and shine with the light of our God. Bless this child of God and hold him in your heart. Touch him with your and breathe in him your life. Anoint this child, O Lord, and make him as your own, and hold him in the hollow of your arms. Hold him in the hollow of your arms. Fill him with truth and beauty. Make him your dwelling place. Shelter him within your shadow. Set Andrew on fire with your love. Bless this child, O God, and hold him in your heart. Touch him with your kiss and breathe in him your